Chuck Swindoll has been searching the scriptures and teaching the Bible for more than 60 years, and now he's helping others to do the same. Welcome to a special edition of Insight for Living. I'm Dave Spiker. Before stepping into a brief mini-series that's slated to begin tomorrow, we're devoting today's program to a personal conversation between Chuck and a good friend who's been commissioned to equip leaders around the world and help others discover the joys of searching the scriptures. We've invited one of our board members, Roger Kemp, to guide us.
Thank you, Dave. It's great to be in the studio again today with Chuck Swindoll for a casual conversation, this time again about our ministry in Great Britain and beyond and some of the initiatives that we're taking as we enter and participate in our 40th year of ministry.
That begins this year, and how thrilled we are. And, you know, we have to pinch ourselves to believe it, Rog, that it's been 40 years, all beginning in 1979, and here we are, the year 2019. We have some events planned this year that will be celebratory, and we look forward to that. But for right now, I admit, I stay encouraged. I don't get encouraged. I stay encouraged when I think that there is a voice like Terry Boyle to represent us there in the great British Isles, right there in the London area where they have their headquarters, and then beyond where Terry travels to teach and to preach. And it's just wonderful to have Dr. Terry Boyle with us today. Welcome, Terry.
Thank you, Chuck. It's very good to be here.
So glad you're back. We were with you earlier, late last year, and now here we are again. I'm so grateful for your presence in the great UK and regions beyond. We are also especially thrilled to know that you will be our international teacher of our Searching the Scriptures ministries, which we'll get into later. But for right now, I think a lot of folks would like to know you a little better. If you could give us a quick view of Terry Boyle and how you got into this with us and how the Lord led in that. It's exciting to hear your story.
In a nutshell, I was born in Windsor in England. I grew up in England. And when I was 26, I moved to Texas and I spent most of the rest of my adult life there. I moved to Texas because I was chasing a young lady by the name of Rosie, and I convinced her to marry me. We were married in Dallas, even though she is a Brit too. We raised our family in the countryside just outside Dallas, and I came to faith in Texas. I studied at Dallas Theological Seminary, trained for ministry there. I was pastoring a church in Dallas when I was approached by Insight for Living, in fact. I can tell a little bit about that story. It's one of those strange stories of for a time such as this.
Yeah, I love the stories.
You've used that phrase before. When Insight for Living decided it was time to open an office in the UK, you asked one of your staff members in the international department here to go to the UK and establish that ministry there.
Yes, we did.
And his name was Scott Bean.
Right.
And
if I may interrupt, yes. Scott was telling us this is an answer to prayer, because he had had that country on his heart for years. Did you know that?
Well, I did know that.
Yeah.
And I know this. They have settled in. They've taken to it, as we say, like ducks to water.
Yeah.
They are so settled in the UK.
He's a citizen.
It's great. He is. He is.
How marvelous. Go ahead now.
Anyway, when you initially tapped Scott to say, go to the UK for us and open an office there, and we need you to try to find someone who can be a pastoral voice for the ministry, somebody who can represent the ministry, speak on your behalf, Chuck, and to basically be the voice over there.
Yes.
And even though I don't have to translate you into English, sometimes I have to change your illustrations a little bit. But when you talk baseball, I talk cricket.
Oh, there you go.
But Scott was a member of my church. He was in my congregation at my church in Dallas at the time. He was worshiping with us every week, and you had challenged him to find a pastor who was familiar with the UK, who was DTS trained, and who might just be willing to go to the UK to represent the ministry in a pastoral way. And Chuck, I have to tell you that Scott just said, well, That sounds like my pastor.
Yeah. We just described my pastor.
That's right. He ticks all of those boxes. So, Scott talked to me about it at first, and then we talked to the ministry about it. And Rosie and I eventually came to the conclusion that for such a time as this, I'd been trained, we had been prepared, and it was time to go to the UK to represent the ministry.
And you literally came back to the UK.
We came home, so to speak.
You came home to the familiar as Scott began to be acquainted with the unfamiliar.
Exactly.
So you helped him with that as well.
Exactly.
So the church rolled along even after you two men left. You
The church carried on very well.
Good.
Perhaps that's something to worry about. But no, the church carried on very well because we had enough notice about the plan to where I could bring another man under my wing.
Good.
And introduce him to the ministry of the church. He was already serving as an elder at the church. He was finishing up his studies at Dallas Seminary. So the timing was perfect to hand off the ministry to him. And it was a very gentle transition. It was a perfect transition.
I've never asked you this, Terry, but having been gone from there all those years,
yes,
your returning there may have been familiar because you were reared there, born there, and it was home for you. But you must have seen some differences when you returned.
Yes, I did.
Describe that for us.
It was culture shock. Again,
was it
when you
really?
Move to live in another country, there's always going to be culture shock. But I didn't expect culture shock going back to the UK. But I'd been gone for a generation.
Right.
And in that generation, the country had changed. Not all for the better, I confess. I think the country is moving more and more in the direction of secularism. Mm. I think the country is moving more and more towards it's a sort of a brutality. We're having a lot of violent street crime now in the UK, which was unheard of when I lived there.
Really?
You really just never heard about anybody being stabbed or mugged or anything like that.
Terrorism? That would.
Well, no, that wasn't on the horizon.
Of course.
That was on nobody's radar then.
Right.
And so coming back to the UK, finding it to be a little less comfortable, a little less civilized perhaps. It was a real shock to me, and it took quite an adjustment to come to terms with that. But
you realized that there's a real need here for the truth that God's equipped me with, and now, of all things, I am one of his spokesmen. That must have been a thrill for you to realize.
It was a thrill and a challenge.
Yes, a challenge for sure.
Because the church in England, not the church of England, but the church in England, finds itself a little bit on the defensive. We are in a post-Christian era in Europe, and other parts of Europe are feeling it even more than we are in the UK. But Christian values, the Christian mindset, it doesn't inform our politics anymore. It doesn't inform our jurisdiction anymore. Everything is driven by the secular mindset. And so churches feel themselves to be against the ropes sometimes. Now, one of the privileges of my ministry, one of the delights that I have, is that I can go from these small churches who feel, I call it the Elijah syndrome, they feel like they're the only ones left.
Uh-huh. Yes.
They feel like they're the only ones left, but I can go from oasis to oasis in a desert of secularism, and I can encourage them, and I can strengthen them, and I can show them the word, and I can build up their strength and give them hope to carry on and just convince them, you know, you're not alone. Just over that hill, there's another church that believes the same way you do.
So there are churches that uphold the scriptures and stand for them, though they would be smaller.
Yes.
And they would be less in number than when you had left earlier.
Typically, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I think church attendance in general is in decline.
Yeah, that's true in the States also.
But the last information I saw, the last set of statistics that was released, it seemed to me that the churches that were sticking to the gospel, in other words, the churches that were still preaching the word from the word, they were doing fine. People appreciated that. They were looking for that. The churches that are in decline tend to be the churches that have lost their grip on the scriptures.
Mm.
Because, let's face it, if you can't go to church and hear the scriptures, why would you go? You might as well stay home and read the newspaper.
Yeah.
And I have been to churches where the minister has preached a sermon out of the last book he read or out of the last story he read in the newspaper. Mm. I had somebody preach a sermon to me out of a biography he read about Florence Nightingale.
Really?
Didn't touch the scriptures once.
Yeah.
He was just telling us what a fine woman she was and how we should devote our lives to good works the way she had.
Mm. Terry, you're touching a raw nerve for us here in North America because we look to your part of the world as maybe being ahead of us by a decade or two, and we know we're right behind you in some of these things. Maybe I could ask a question this way. This is true in North America. It's true in your part of the world. Why are the big grand cathedrals that we celebrate throughout the world for their history empty on Sunday mornings?
Well, I think it's because the grand cathedrals are the monuments to the English Church, the Church of England, the Anglican Church. They were built by the Anglican churches or by the Anglican Church. They were monuments to the people who really wanted to make a big footprint or a big splash theologically.
Hmm.
But I think as some parts of the Anglican Church, the state church, I need to make it clear that the Anglican Church is our state church. It is tied in many ways to our government and politically and theologically, the Queen, Queen Elizabeth II, is the head of the church. And then she has the Archbishop of Canterbury who oversees the workings of the church. But parts of the Church of England, as I say, simply lost their grip on the scriptures. They didn't give anyone a reason to come. They didn't give anyone any hope because their message was softened down to the point of, if you can just be a good neighbor, or if you can just do no harm, or if you can just help a friend out, then that's it. God's going to love you. Now, we know that that's an incomplete gospel. That's a fuzzy gospel.
Yeah.
But it's a very prevalent gospel in
yes.
the UK. Everybody, instinctively, I believe, feels that they have a problem with God, an innate sense that we need to relate to God, but somehow we can't. Now, it's only the message of grace and it's only Christ's work on the cross that solves that problem. But people try to find different solutions to that problem and they always come up empty and they always come up wanting. And so if that solution isn't offered in that church, eventually they'll realize, well, this is just another self-help movement.
Yes.
And it doesn't give me anything spiritual. It doesn't give me anything that I can feed my soul with.
This beautiful voice you're hearing today is the voice of Dr. Terry Boyle, who is our voice over in Great Britain, the whole British Isles, and beyond. It's such a thrill to have you here in our studio with us today because we know that you represent what we believe in as well, and that is the value of understanding the Bible.
Yes.
Which has led us, Terry, if I may segue into this, into the whole wonderful subject of searching the scriptures,
yes.
which we have as our guide these days, the STS studies
yes.
that are a part of every, at the end of every one of our broadcasts, we make that available to those who want to get our materials. We have an STS study that's a follow-up that folks can follow along. And that's our desire, our attempt to help bridge this ache that's now present in that land so that folks can know how to get into the Bible for themselves. It's a long intro into it, but the Searching the Scriptures ministry is sort of your focus and will be for the years to come as you train people in that area of getting into the Word for themselves. It's not just something for the clergy or for something someone would learn at seminary, but it's a method that can be learned by anyone who is able to read the language and get into it for themselves.
Well, Searching the Scriptures, your book, it's a wonderful, accessible, understandable book about how to study the scriptures for yourself, how to glean out those nuggets of golden wisdom, allow the scriptures to speak to you in a way that is reliable, in a way that has integrity. It's not liable to misinterpretation the way that some people would take the scriptures and they don't do the groundwork and they don't come at it in a methodical way. And so they come away with all sorts of wild and woolly ideas sometimes.
That's right. You can go to the Bible with your ideas and then search for a half verse here or a statement there. And then you read into that
yep.
what you want it to say.
Yeah.
That is not a good practice.
I call it cherry picking.
Yeah, that's right. And it goes on all the time.
Yes.
However, the hard work of doing your own mining of the truth is a process that you go through in observing the Bible, learning what it says, interpreting then what it means, correlating it with one verse alongside another so that you get a well-rounded and balanced understanding, and ultimately applying that which you have discovered. And that then becomes a reliable, to use your word, a reliable body of information that really is sourced in the Word of God. I find people are hungry for that.
I think so too. And the people in the UK that I've spoken to who have read the book and sort of they drink it down almost whole because they love that way that you have of expressing things that is at once so clear and yet so profound. It has been a very popular book in
the
UK.
I'm so grateful. We approached it based on the eating of a meal, of all things, which everyone has to do. And it begins with finding the food and then turning to preparing the meal and ultimately serving the feast. And that's a process we go through in studying the Scriptures. We have to know where to go to find what we're looking for, and we explain how to do that, how the Bible is divided into certain sections, and how when you understand that, it makes better sense.
Yes.
And you don't pull sections of Scripture out of their context. You allow them to remain there, much like a diamond remains in its setting. And you appreciate the beauty of that setting as you find the food. And then once you have found the section you want to study, then you get into it on your own.
Yes.
And you're the one that's going to teach people how to do that. That's what's so exciting to me. You're not only going to preach a sermon here and there, but you are going to say, now, let me help you know how I came up with those things.
Yes. I think it's easy to say, this book will help you to study the Scriptures. And it does. It is profoundly helpful. And every man can approach this book. Every woman can approach this book and say, I can do this for myself.
Yes.
Now, the place that interests me, the work that interests me, goes a little further than that, because there are pastors all across the world who are hungry to know how to do this for themselves so that they can, in turn, bring that truth, bring that word into the lives of their churches.
Right.
And it's a great privilege to be able to work on materials as well that developed from searching the Scriptures, brought out of that book, and if you will, intensified somehow or focused with a view to showing pastors and teachers of the Word how to really come up with a message that has, I'll use the word again, integrity, that has honesty to it, that is applicable and relevant and vibrant and living, and to inspire their church congregations in that way.
Yeah, I love it because it takes away the intimidation of this big book that looks like it belongs at a coffee table and is understood by only the clergy, which sounds a lot like the days of the Dark Ages. And the enemy would love for us to think like that. But in fact, when you crack it open and you dig into those pages and you learn a method of studying it, it is remarkable how not only you can do it, but you get excited about doing it. We met with a group of Chinese folks that were searching for a method that they could help their pastors learn at this. And we introduced them to the Searching the Scriptures. They were so thrilled, and I think they were. Their faces revealed it. I don't know their language, but from the way they sounded, it was like, this is exactly what we've been looking for.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, Chuck, because I heard a statistic the other day that opened my mind, shattered my thinking about the global church. The statistic was 95% of pastors who are working with the church have not had any formal training at all.
That's a phenomenal figure.
Is that crazy? And so we sort of put our understanding, our North American understanding or our Great Britain understanding of the church, seminary training, and the privilege of having 4 or 5 years.
That everybody knows what he's doing and he's had great training in the Scriptures. And
so the dream with this book, Searching the Scriptures, is to go far beyond ourselves, to reach into parts of the world where they don't have that privilege.
Exactly.
And to help them begin to cook up those great meals every Sunday.
That's it. That's it. This is about the foundation of our idea of searching the Scriptures, which you and I first learned from Dr. Howie Hendricks when we were at Dallas Seminary.
We both sat at the same feet.
I remember sitting in the class thinking, honestly, it may sound funny for me to say this, I can actually do this. Remember that? Remember those thoughts?
That moment strikes everybody in
it
that
does.
Class.
And I thought, why am I yelling here? And I thought while I'm sitting in class, why isn't everybody about to jump up and shout? Because I realized this is what I've been looking for. Mm-hmm. This is why I came to seminary. And now you don't have to have seminary. You've got the information right there, and you follow the steps just as you would follow a recipe, and it'll turn out well. The more you do it, the better you will get at it.
Chuck, yeah. I would love to insert something very practical here, because every day on the program, our announcer makes a little brief statement. Sometimes I think our listeners miss it. Sometimes falls at the beginning of the program, where we draw their attention to an online resource called Searching the Scriptures. Right. If you would like to search the Scriptures today with Chuck Swindoll, go to, and we give the web address. It has more training there than most pastors have had the privilege of benefiting from.
Isn't that amazing?
And every listener has access to that. You serve up meals for us every day. We get to listen to the banquet that you've prepared for us. Yeah. But by going to that website, we can begin to dig into the Scriptures on our own.
I've often said if you can read that language, you're able then to carry out the assignment. And all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, over a process of time, God's Word begins to unfold and you realize this makes sense.
Yes.
This talks to me about where I am in life. This helps me with my decision or how to rear my family or how to handle this difficult place at work or how to stay at a hard task or whatever may be the assignment of life. God's Word has a way of addressing it.
Yes, it does.
He's given us His Word to change our lives.
Yes.
You know, I'm grateful that at our 40-year anniversary, that we have the privilege of looking back and thanking God for His faithfulness. Mm. But I'm also really grateful that we're also looking forward. And let me see if I can kind of articulate and clarify the trifecta of our focus for the coming years. It would be searching the Scriptures on your own. We have the book. And then it would be one-on-one training of pastors to do the same, to go and do likewise. And then we have the online training, which is already there. This is not we're thinking about doing this. It's there. Right. And of course,
and it's not just for pastors.
Right.
It's for all who are interested in the Word of God.
And it's not just for Americans or Canadians or Britishers. It is for all 195 countries of the world.
Yeah. And, you know, to do this, I'll just come to the bottom line. We need the support of God's people. There are those who love what we do, and some of you are right there hearing us today, and you believe in it with all your heart, and you've proven it because you faithfully listen, you faithfully pray. The third part of this process is that you faithfully give. And by your being generous, you equip us to do this in a broader base, not only staying at it where you live, but taking the same message to places beyond. So as you give, we're able to take it to the 195 countries around the world.
Chuck, it seems like a really good time to commit ourselves in prayer for Dr. Terry Boyle. I wondered if he would take a couple of minutes just to ask God to go before him in this important work.
I'd be delighted. Thank you, Father, for raising up those whom you have gifted and trained and called to step into the arena and to trust you for strength and for direction and then for open doors that give us the opportunity to share the message abroad widely and wisely. Thank you for Dr. Terry Boyle and for his ministry, not just in the country where he lives, but in those regions beyond, in the broader world of the British Isles, in English-speaking places around Northern Europe and other parts, even beyond that. I pray that you would give him protection, that you would give strength, that you would keep his heart soft, warm toward you. Guard him from the cynicism that comes from familiarity. May he regularly find joy in discovery. May his prayer life remain vibrant and real. May his words remain truthful and reliable. And may his ministry be keen, touching the hearts of those who've never heard as well as those who've often heard but have lost their way. Use us, Father, we pray, in the lives of all these needs of people around the world for your greater glory. And we commit this to you now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Master. Amen.
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 You're listening to a conversation between Chuck Swindoll and his good friend and ministry colleague, Dr. Terry Boyle. And if you missed any portion of today's program, or you'd like to pass along the conversation to a friend, you can listen to the program in its entirety by going to insightworld.org. As God moves you to invest in the nonprofit ministry of Insight for Living, we encourage you to give us a call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Once again, that's 1-800-772-8888. It's also easy to give a donation online at insight.org. Many have discovered that giving through our mobile app is an easy option. Or you can simply send a text. Just type this number into your chat box, 555-888. Then type the one word, insight. That's 555-888. Then type the one word, insight. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll begins a series originally presented to students in training for full-time vocational ministry. Be listening Tuesday to Insight for Living.
The preceding interview, a Vision 195 conversation with Chuck, Searching the Scriptures with Terry Boyle, was copyrighted in 2018, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.